Welcome to Another Day Above Ground, a show for, by, and about baby boomers. It's the podcast for people who have no idea how to download a podcast. And now, here's your host, Dale Irvin.
Welcome back, all of our baby boomer buddies, to Another Day Above Ground, which is always a good way to start any day, and that's above ground. We're the podcast just for you because we talk about stuff that baby boomers are interested in, okay? We're not going to, you're not going to get into Snapchats and tweets and stuff like that. No, we're going to talk about old-timey stuff because that's who we are. And when I say we, I refer, of course, to my two partners, first joining us from Denver, Colorado, the lovely and talented Carolyn Strauss.
Hey, everybody. And speaking of that, every time I hear TikTok, I'm thinking I'm late for something. People say it all day long. They're like, hey, TikTok. And I'm like, where am I supposed to be? It confuses me.
I flash back to Peter Pan.
Yes.
When the crocodile ate the clock. And our third partner from the great state of Indiana, please welcome the Aristotle of comedy, Mr. Tim Slagle.
Is it time to set the clocks back yet? We've got to be
another
getting
week,
close
I
on
think,
that.
Or soon. Week? It'll be soon, yeah.
No, we go forward in the spring, Tim. If you set them back, you're going to be 2 hours late for everything.
Oh. Yeah, that explains a lot.
It does. Now, I get it now.
Not if
wow.
you set them back 23 hours.
That's right. Okay.
Most of my clocks, I never moved anyway. So
I know it's better for the mind to do the math every day when you look at it and go, "Oh no, it's not 9 o'clock. It's 8 o'clock." It you know.
I am so happy I now have an excuse for every time I'm late, which is every time I have to be somewhere. That's perfect.
Does anybody actually change the batteries in their smoke detector? Because you're supposed to do that on that day, too. Does anybody actually do that? I just wait until they start beeping.
Let me tell you a story. And this happened just last week. We always change them when we change the clocks. But last week, my wife was cooking something, and one of the smoke detectors started going off periodically. And she said, "I don't see any smoke." And she turned on the fan, and eventually it stopped. And then a couple minutes later, it started beeping again, and we couldn't figure out why. And then another one started beeping. And I go, "What is this?" So the first thing, of course, was to take all of the batteries out. The beep was still there. I said, "Well, they're all hooked into an electrical circuit. Pop the fuse on the circuit breaker on the one that says smoke detectors." We did that. There's still a beep. We took all of the smoke detectors down out of the house. My wife took them out into the garage, and it was still a periodic beep. And my daughter came over. She couldn't have been here 5 minutes. Said, "Dad, you know your carbon dioxide detector's going off." Completely different unit. I had no idea. And all it needed was a battery.
Okay.
good thing. Good thing that it was just
right
a just a battery there, Dale, because you might not be above ground today.
Well, by the time I got downstairs, she had all the windows open, doors open. Took the detector outside. I said, "No, I think it just needs a battery."
Don't they have detectors now with voices? So that I detect
smoke.
That's
what I need.
That's all I need at 3 o'clock in the morning. I live by myself at 3 o'clock in the morning. That's all I need is some voice going, "I smell something." I mean, that is not what I hear at 3 o'clock in the morning ever.
You know what I've learned? I'm going to give this advice because it's an important tip for all our listeners, and it kind of ties into Dale's story. What you do when you hear a beep, because the thing is you never know when it's going to beep again, so you really can't trace it, and you have to do what Dale did. Well, here's what you do. You get a watch with a second hand or a clock with a second hand, you know, just pull it off the mantle or wherever you have it with a second hand, and mark it when it beeps. Look at where it is when it beeps, and then watch it, see how many times it goes around, and when it beeps again, you know the timing. Therefore, then what you can do is, like, if it's 2 minutes, what you do is you hear the beep, and then you wait 2 minutes, and then where you think it came from, you'll hear it again, and you can eventually trace it like that.
I did that, actually. I did that. It was 58 seconds between the beeps, and I just could never find out where they were coming from.
Huh.
But that's just me.
You need someone with two good ears. or a
OCD, because there is nothing worse than 2 o'clock in the morning having that beeping thing happen. Oh my gosh, especially if it's like downstairs in a room you're not in during the day a lot, or and it's way up on the ceiling and you have to get the ladder from outside at 2 o'clock in the morning. It's not fun.
You could just take a broom and knock it off the wall.
Mine are all on the ceiling. And it's funny. Yeah, I have one in here. I didn't even know I had one in here.
Under the bicycle seat.
Under the bicycle, exactly, right under the bicycle seat.
If you're watching us on YouTube, you notice that all of our backgrounds contain bicycles of some sort. And that's because our special guest today is an avid cyclist. He's a baby boomer, but his hobby is riding a... He's not a baby boomer?
No.
What are you doing on this show? Like a baby boomer.
What the hell are you doing on this show,
then? He looks like a Gen X.
He is an X.
Really?
Yeah. You
can't
tell.
He's not my ex. Kids. He's not my ex. He's just an ex.
He's just an ex. Yeah.
No, I didn't want to.
Not one of yours. No.
Yes.
No. Otherwise, he'd have a number. Yeah. Anyhow, Scott Cooksey is with us today. He is a business leader, a speaker, a guru seen around the world for different business things, but he is an avid bike rider. And that's what we want to talk to. First of all, Scott, welcome to another day above ground.
Here I am. Glad to be here. Thank you very much.
Well, we're glad to have you here, because otherwise we wind up with a much shorter show. And so tell us.
We'd be going right into our game right now.
Now, do you race bicycles? Are you a racer? Do you wear the tight clothes and the helmet that sweeps back? And
Dale, I do have the funny pants and the zip up shirt and the whole get up. You're welcome for the visual. Carolyn got a little too excited about that. But anyhow,
well, she's got funny pants too, but they're a different kind.
Moving on. I'm not a professional racer. But I'm a big enthusiast of the sport, though. I do ride for fun and exercise and all the great reasons. I've been a lifelong bike rider and just sort of fell in love with the sport. And, you know, professionally, I use it as sort of a muse to sort of distract people to get out of their own heads and kind of help them solve some business problems. But I have found that the bicycle for me there's a lot of metaphors in life that come from that. And somebody taught me one time, they said, if you figure out what you like to do when you're not working and marry it with what you do when you are working and have some fun with it, it gets better. My energy gets better. I have more fun. And I just like talking about bikes. And it just so happens I can tie that into about anything.
If I did that, I'd get arrested. But that's a different show.
A very different show.
Well, let me ask you a question about the bicycle itself. The racing bicycles seem to have those little tiny narrow seats. And the bicycle I had a kid had a nice big triangular seat. Mm-hmm. What's the advantage of the narrow one other than, you know, really messing with Big Steve and the twins?
Well, not all bicycles. Not all bicyclists have twins. They're bicycle
true,
racers have twins. Ooh. They're Dale.
They're more aerodynamic without them, isn't that?
Some of
why?
Them have. Some of them have. Some of them have only children.
Yeah. I mean, if you think about it, right? So, like,
got a bad line for that.
Go for it, Dan. Come on, you can't. Wow, I want to hear it after. Okay.
I don't know that I have a great answer for that other than, different bikes do have different styled seats, right? So when I was a kid, I grew up on BMX bikes. It was a hard plastic seat. You really didn't sit on that much anyway. It was just sort of utilitarian. If you were between races or challenging your buddy to a jump or whatnot, you had somewhere to seat yourself. Because let me tell you, if you think the seat's uncomfortable, you should try to ride a bike without one.
Well, some people might enjoy that.
Perhaps
parts of town where that's a fad.
Generally not recommended, but
So that was your first bike, Scott? Was a BMX?
Well, my very first bike was actually a Schwinn. It was a baby blue, sparkly blue Schwinn road bike. In fact, it was one of those that like had the crossbar that goes across the top that you throw your leg over. Mm-hmm. And on a women's bike, there's often just a pass through, right? They'll reshape the frame so that's not there. This one actually had a removable one. So like as a little kid, you could just sort of step through, and as you got a little bigger, you could add the bar across the top. And it was actually a street bike, fatter tires, but designed to ride on the road. Not quite a Pee Wee Herman style bike, right? That some of the listeners here may be familiar with the big aerodynamic, Art Deco looking, accoutrement, if you will. Very quickly found my way to the BMX bike, right? The dirt bike, you know, no fenders, knobby tires, good for riding in the dirt, off road, all kinds of stuff.
How many gears did that bike? Was that like a 3-speed? Just one?
One. The BMX bike's got one.
It was a no, the Schwinn.
Not a fixed. That's, so this bike behind me on the wall is a fixie. It's a single speed, and has the special hub in the back that if you pedal forward, the back wheel goes forward. If you pedal backwards, it'll go backwards. And that's a specific style bike called a fixie.
Yeah. That's what the hipsters call it. A fixie.
They do. Yeah.
I never understood something. It seemed to me, cause I noticed when I was little, the difference between girls' bikes had the V and boys' bikes had the bar that went across that you were just talking about. It makes sense with boys being built the way they are that there wouldn't be a bar there. That seemed really stupid.
Especially
and I
when you're
never
standing up
answer.
Pedaling and a chain slips.
You know? Yeah, right. You crack your nuts.
Well,
yeah.
Here's I can answer that question, Carolyn.
I love that, Tim, because I never understood.
The bar makes it sturdier, which boys kind of need because the places where they would take their bikes. They wouldn't. So they would ruin the frame. The
so
girls
a sexist design.
Yeah, you kind of. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. When it was originally done, women would wear dresses.
There you go.
Right, and the dress couldn't be over the bar. Oh,
well, no, there was no way. There was
no
way that you could kick your leg up and get around. There's no way to get on it. So with the lower bar, it was a step through. And Schwinn was way ahead of its time. I didn't realize that Schwinn had a bike with a removable bar. That's a great idea to get a kid who hasn't picked his gender. It's a kid who hasn't picked his gender yet.
That's so. We should bring it back.
They should.
I thought you were a boy, but you're a girl, so we're taking the bar away.
There's a good market for those today.
Hey, my first bike was a Schwinn as well, and it was teal. It was turquoise. And by the time I got old enough, like to be done riding it, the seat, my dad used to have to come and unscrew the seat to make it higher and higher and higher. By the time I got done with that little bike, there was like a quarter of an inch of the post still in the holder thing. Yeah. And then I finally had to get a new bike.
It's when I was a kid, I got my first bike was also a Schwinn, and it was like a Pee Wee Herman Schwinn. It was a black Phantom with in between the bars. It had the big horn. It had a light on the front. It had a snap. It was beautiful. And you know what I did with that? Because it was the bike my dad always wanted. I think when he was a kid, it was the ultimate in bikes from his generation. I just wanted a Stingray. I wanted the Schwinn with the banana seat and
the banana seat. Yeah.
So I took all those accoutrements off the bike and turned it into a not quite a Sting. It was like a grunge Stingray, I guess. And I put on the butterfly handlebars and the banana seat with the sissy bar. And I look back and my poor dad Timmy ruined his bike.
He died inside.
I know. And when I look back, it's like, why did I do that? The Schwinn was much cooler the other way. It never looked cool.
We did some modifications to that old blue Schwinn of ours too, because after a while, my brother and I had kind of gotten some other, you know, BMX bikes, and my grandfather was in the steel business, and he sold like industrial steel, And I don't know, somewhere at a trade show, he must have won these or something. But he shows up one day with these mag wheels. Remember mag wheels people put on their bikes? It was like five spokes. It was like a hard molded plastic. And he probably, you know, sold them the steel that went through the center of the hub or something. And he brought these to us. He goes, "You boys ought to have fun with this." And we're like, "What the hell are we going to do with this?" And we were like, "The blue bike." So we turned the blue bike into a dirt bike. We took it to the bike shop and said, "Turn this into a BMX bike." And they're like, okay. So they took the wheels off. They put these wheels on that we brought them that miraculously were the right size, put the knobby tires on it. Still had kind of a street handlebars, but we changed the hand grips. So they were a little bit more aggressive, like whatever. And we did the same crap on that bike you would do on a normal BMX bike. And, you know, we almost had a babysitter once that we thought was going to have to go have an appendectomy because he wrecked on the blue bike and the wheel turned sideways and jabbed him in his abdomen. But he was all right. It didn't hurt too bad.
The modification I remember is that that a lot of dads would do for their kids. I didn't know how to do it. Couldn't figure it out at the time. Is what they would do is they'd get a couple long pieces of conduit and they'd hammer one end and drill it out and then stick it over the fork and then attach the front wheel to the to make it into a chopper.
Fantastic. Yeah, you put that with a banana seat and you're like Dennis
Hopper. how cool the kids were that with dads figured out how to do that.
That's pretty cool. My dad was a banker. He wasn't that cool.
Did boys use training wheels to learn how to ride, or was that a girl thing? Yeah. You did? Okay, good. Yeah. I didn't know.
Not in my generation.
No.
Really?
No. I got on the bike and rolled it down the driveway. I skinned my knees until I figured out how to get it moving myself, balance until I could get it moving. So yeah, no training wheels for me. That's for sissies.
I had training wheels. My first bike, I was going to say, is a Huffy, and it was a second hand, and it did have training wheels, which, you know, just kept getting raised up a little bit the better you got. But my granddaughter, my 5-year-old granddaughter, I forget what it's called, but it's a bicycle, but no pedals. It's to learn how to balance.
Yeah, it's like a balance bike.
A Flintstone bike.
Yeah. And you know, she's ready to ride a regular bicycle now because she's really got the balance down just by pedaling, you know, like Fred Flintstone. So those are kind of cool.
Yeah, we were a Schwinn family, Dale. The only Huffy we ever had is when we were putting together model kits.
You remind me, there was some friends that lived down the street that when their kid was little, they had one of those little balance bikes, and they had adopted this child from Vietnam. He was very small, and
most of them are over there. Yeah.
Well, they are, and this one was they moved like 3 years later after they adopted him. The kid was the same size, but he was like ripped like Bruce Lee. It was amazing, and who I know is not Vietnamese, so we'll just anyway. So we're coming down the road. And he comes down the hill, and when the kid, he was great with the balance, but there's no brakes on those bikes either, right? So he would get to our house at the bottom of the hill and just bail out in the yard. He'd be like, ah! And this little Vietnamese kid would go flying through the air and land on the grass, get up laughing and go to the top of the hill and do it again. It was amazing.
The irony, though, is his older brother is still in the old country building those bikes.
So anyhow, Scott, what's the secret to racing bicycles? I mean, I know about the drafting thing and that, but what's the secret? Is it all legwork? Is that primarily it?
You know, it's interesting when you think about like professional racing. You think it's just one rider that's trying to win the race, but the reality is, I think the secret is, any given day, anybody can probably win, but strategy and teamwork plays a big part of it. And I'm going to tell you, there's going to be a little bit of luck too.
So you have like pit crews, like they do in car racing, in case you blow a tire or something.
There are mechanics, yes. So if you have a mechanical, you get the European broadcasters will refer to it as a puncture. We'd call it a flat. But if you get a puncture and you some sort of mechanical issue, you blow a chain, something goes malfunctions on the bike, you can't ride. You know, riders, you know, waving, trying to get attention, maybe talking on his radio. And somebody shows up in a car, jumps out. It looks like the Keystone Cops. Guy jumps out, grabs a bike off the rack, swaps the bikes out, gets the rider off and going as fast as a NASCAR pit crew can put tires on a car and get him back on the track.
Gets the rider off?
Well.
Figuratively speaking. I was going to say the only alteration I made to my Huffy bike, and I think they should still do it for racing bikes, only required two baseball cards and two clothespins. And all of a sudden, I had a Harley, you know, and I think that would be really cool to watch on, like, the Tour de France.
That'd be amazing.
My brother and I, one Christmas, that reminds me, one Christmas, my brother and I, we both got these things, and they were plastic tubes with, like, a diaphragm in them, and then part of the piece of the diaphragm stuck out, so that it was like the baseball card thing, but it was amplified because of the plastic tube, and it looked really cool. It looked like an exhaust pipe on the back of your bike. And we got these for Christmas, my brother and I. And obviously, looking back, my mom obviously picked those out because my dad would never put them on our bikes. We couldn't figure out how to do it ourselves. We were too little, but he refused to put those things on our bikes. So
it'd be pretty easy to figure out where you were, though, in the neighborhood, right? You just kind of stand on the front porch and listen.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, they're over there. You know, after a while, you kind of learn the distance or the reverb off the bouncing off the houses.
Uh-huh.
So here's a story. My mother never learned how to ride a bike. Patty, who we all know, never learned how to ride a bike, so she still doesn't. Is it possible, Scott, do you think, for baby boomers who didn't ride bikes to learn how to ride it?
Absolutely. I think it's never too late to learn how to ride a bike. I think you want to be careful, right? But you've got so many different things you can do. I mean, there are certainly training wheels, I guess, you could do. And let's be honest. Baby boomers, I know, some of them got great senses of humor. And just to get around and laugh at each other and get out and have fun. But I'll remember my granddad at his house one time at a garage sale, they bought a three-wheeled bicycle. So it was like a big trike, right? It had a big basket in the back of it. Now, as kids, we would go out in the backyard and we would try to get it going in the driveway and try to get it up on two wheels and right, you know, try to go around in a circle. Or we would drag it up to the big hill in the backyard and coast down as fast as we could, or, you know, stuff my brother or my cousin or somebody in the back basket, and somehow we all survived without losing any digits and got through it. But, you know, the technology today on bikes is phenomenal. Right. And so the big thing now are e-assist bikes, which is electrical assist. And so they're putting motors into these bikes. Now, I just had back surgery. Right. And I'm thinking about, I was on my way a year ago before I realized I had a back issue. I was on my way to buy a new mountain bike. So I was going to put my road bike up on the hanging on the wall for a while. And cause we've got some great mountain bike trails here in Tulsa, Oklahoma, where I live. So I wanted to get out and ride more that way. And I didn't, because I started having problems with my back. And now that I'm sitting here and I'm like, hey, there is no shame in it, right? Just the point is, get out on the bike. I want to be outside, go exercise, get out and play in the woods, go play in the dirt like when I was a kid and have some fun. And there's a lot of these places. There's miles and miles and miles and miles in a lot of communities of just road pathways that are safe, right? You can go ride a bike on. And so if you're worried about, well, I can't ride that far, I can't get, it's fine. It's got a little electric engine in it. Nobody even knows unless you tell them in a lot of cases. You can ride those. But I think anybody can learn how to ride a bike. Why not?
I have an electric bike. It's got four wheels. It's my Jeep, and it takes me anywhere I want it to go.
The Barbie Jeep? It's
fantastic. I don't have to pedal at all.
When I was a kid, my Schwinn, it had those big, fat tires. And I remember that. And I guess it was because it was designed for back when boys had paper routes on dirt roads. And my second bike was we just called it a 10 speed then. They were originally called English racers, and then they became 10 speeds. I remember my 10 speed had real skinny tires. But now I notice that it's sometimes going the other way. Now you see these bikes with these huge motorcycle tires on it.
Yeah.
What is the purpose of that? Does it just look cool?
No, it's very inefficient. right? It takes a lot of energy to push those around.
I would think.
Where they're useful, though, is on sand and snow.
I was going to say, on the beach, I've seen them.
Yeah, anywhere that the bike, like a skinny tire, would just cut right into the sand or would cut right in the snow, and you wouldn't be able to go anywhere. But just like you would on an ATV, right? Or, you know, if you drive your car out into the desert, you got to let about half the air out of the tires so the tread spreads out. The same kind of concept works there. So the fatter the tire, the less air pressure that's in it. And you can actually, it sort of helps it float across some of the terrain. It's pretty comfortable to ride, but it's not very efficient. You certainly wouldn't want to put big fat tires like that, even if they had a slick tread on them, on a road racing bike.
So they probably have real low gears too, I'm guessing.
Yeah, they're going to be geared different. Yeah, absolutely.
And Fat Tire, by the way, is a delicious beer, which I believe is brewed in Colorado.
There
you have it. Anyhow, Scott,
plug. You didn't even know it. Good job.
Scott, we have, unfortunately, we just about run out of time. Do you have any metaphors that you said about relating bicycling to life? I remember Albert Einstein said that something like life is like a bicycle. In order to keep your balance, you have to keep moving. Something like that, he said. But he said it very smartly. Do you have anything like that to leave with our listener?
I'll tell you the same thing that I've heard from, we've talked a lot about how to make a bike go and what makes a bike comfortable and how to ride a bike. But I will tell you that sometimes it's more important to make sure you understand how to stop the bike.
There you go. There you go. A tree isn't always the answer. Yeah.
Correct.
which brings up the proverbial bar once again.
There you go. We're back to the Big Steve and the Twins. Anyhow, Scott, thank you so much for joining us. If people, and if you want people to get a hold of you and talk either about business or biking, what would they, where would they go?
Oh, it's easy. You can find me at leadoutperformancegroup.com. It's my website, and you can find all about me there.
Very good. Once again, Scott Cooksey, thank you for joining us here on another day above ground. And now, my friends. That's right. You know by the sound of that bell, it's game time. Every week around this time, we play a game called Boom Again. It's a wonderful board game for baby boomers. And we not only play it, but we give you a chance to win one. Because we're going to ask you three questions from the game. If you answer all three correctly and send them in to us, you can win a game. Where, Carolyn, would they possibly send those answers?
You send your answers to anotherdayabovegroundshow@gmail.com. Just put Boom Again answers in the subject line. Give us the answers, and if you get them right, we'll send you a game.
All right. Well, we asked three questions last week. Let me give you the answers to those first. One of the things we first asked was, Candace Bergen's father was a great ventriloquist. Name him and one of his two best friends.
Seriously? That's so simple.
Seriously. Okay, what do you think, Vicky?
Charlie McCarthy.
And Mortimer Snerd.
Mortimer Snerd, that's right. These are very easy questions. We don't try to stump people. Here's the second one we asked last week. There are three U.S. states that start with the letter O. Name two of their capitals.
Columbus, Ohio.
That's correct.
Portland, Oregon.
No, that doesn't start with an O.
Oregon?
Oh no, the city does. Yeah, no, not Portland. Portland is not the
capital of Oregon.
The capital of Oregon, Salem. Salem, Oregon.
And then there's Oklahoma and Oklahoma City.
Oklahoma City, correct.
You know, I didn't know that about Oregon. I have learned something today.
There you go. Everybody learns from this.
Looks like we're smarter than the eighth grade nun, huh?
You are. I'm going to put that. That's a question. Hold on. Let me get a card.
And then the third question we asked last week was Ukfe Uye. What language is that in?
Igpe Atenle. Yeah.
Pig Latin. That's right. Pig Latin.
My mother taught me Pig Latin.
Well, good. Somebody needs to, you know. Well, here's our three questions for this week. If you know the answers, send them in, and we will send you a game. Once again, Carolyn, where would they send that?
You send them to anotherdayabovegroundshow@gmail.com.
Okay. First question. Where did George Jetson work? was the name of the company he worked at.
I know that.
Second question. And if you're an old enough baby boomer, you will no doubt remember this. In 1973, the Super Bowl was won by a team that accomplished something never previously achieved. Who were they, and what was the accomplishment?
Ooh, I have no
idea.
And
then the third question. Oh, really? No, I do. The third question was, there were bell bottoms, and then there was a slightly less exaggerated version. What were they called? So those are your three questions. If you know the answers to those, send them in to us, and we will send you a game. That being said, it is now time to... I'm sorry?
But if you want to go get a game, go to BoomAgain. But if you can go to BoomAgain.com. I mean, BoomAgain.com, order a game, and in the checkout, put 10ADAG. You will get 10% off your game. There you go.
Very good. So you can save two ways. You can either win or you can save, but right now it's time to say goodbye. So before we do, Carolyn, any last words for everybody?
Enjoy the Oscars. Have some champagne. It'll make all the long movies seem shorter. Have a lot of champagne.
Yeah, because they'll seem shorter because you spend most of the time in a washroom. All right, Tim, any final words?
Hey, yeah, last week I was in Dallas. I taped a show. I taped a show called Normal World. If you Google Normal World on YouTube, you can see it. I believe it's episode 95. So check that out.
What's it about?
Well, it's just like a podcast. We just talked about several different things. But it's got a really got a really funny opening that I'm not part of, but fortunately.
So Normal World.
Yeah, I think it's got a cold open that's just hilarious.
And I invite you to go to DaleIrvin.com. Sign up for the Friday Funnies. They're free, and every Friday in your email, I'll make you laugh with a funny video and some added material. That being said, thanks for joining us. Go out and enjoy the rest of today, because today is another day above ground.
And that's it for another day above ground. For Dale, Tim, and Carolyn, I'm Farad Muhammad. Thanks for listening.